Amen. All right, take your Bibles again, turn back to that same scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17. The Bible tells us there, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away," and it says, "and behold, all things are become new." Now, when it uses that word "become new," what it's talking about there is it's speaking of becoming. It doesn't mean that you are new. Everything's brand new. We know it's not, right? When I got saved, I still had the same temptations, had the same struggles, still had the temper, still didn't want to obey mom and dad like I should. So it was a work in progress. I was under construction. And I'm an old bridge that's still being worked on, amen? And it never gets done. You know, God's work on us, till the day we die, we're going to be under construction. One thing I don't mind when I see signs under construction and I live in the area and I see progress. Don't you like that? Hey, they finally put the beams up for the bridge. Wow, they finally opened up a lane. You ever been somewhere where it's under construction for years and nothing ever changes? That's disheartening. It's like, is that where all our money's going, right? You know, the Christian life is the same way. You know, I don't mind that you're under construction. And I hope you don't mind that I'm under construction. But one thing I think that all of us desire is to see some changes. We want to see some growth. We want to see, hey, something new's been added. Hey, that, you know, they didn't get mad as quickly this time. Wow, they're more faithful to church now. Wow, they seem to be doing better in that area. Yes, they're still under construction, but things are happening. It says here, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become or becoming new. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking." By the way, this is all part of the human body. This is all part of the old nature. This is who we are. You know, when we got saved, we still have the old nature. You ever go into a store or a restaurant and some song comes on that reminds you of the old days? Right? And all of a sudden it's like, ooh, I got to get out of here because it's bringing back memories of, you know, we still have those desires. You know, just because we've had victories in those areas doesn't mean that the temptations are not there. But it says here, we're to lay those things aside. The malice, the guile, the hypocrisies, envies, and all evil speaking. He says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. Amen. We're to desire God's word, the sincere milk of the word of God, for one reason. Just about a take of the milk. Just to say that, wow, did you read your Bible? I read my Bible. Okay. But did it do anything for you? Did you apply it? You know, some of our, I've done prison ministry, and some of the most religious people I've ever met, and some of the people that have known the Bible more than many people, were people in prison. It's not that they didn't know the Word of God. It's just that when they let them out of prison, they leave their Bible there and they leave religion there and they don't apply it. Now, I'm not saying all of them do that. I know some that do apply it and they do change. But a lot of times we're that way. We know the truth. I tell you what, I've been around this a long time. I've been under, I think about, you know, opening, when I said open the Word of God, I've heard preachers say that over the years, different pastors and preachers. I've been under all that. And I tell you what, something ought to be happening in my life. There ought to be some growth taking place. Now, a lot of times in my Christian life, it's two steps forward, one step back. Two steps forward, one step back. Three steps forward, two steps back. But as long as I keep moving forward. And sometimes I get stuck and I get in a rut, but I never want to go back. The Bible tells us that we're to desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye, what? May grow thereby. So there ought to be some growing taking place. You know, we have this homeless ministry. We have Chapel on Wheels. I tell the homeless people, they come out every Saturday. We had 24. It used to be we had to beg them to come. We had to threaten them to come. Not really, but we had to bribe them to come. And we'd have 5, 3, 4, 8. God's been good. Amen. Past few months. Amen. Over 20 each Saturday. Amen. There. And that, they're not there because you're giving them something, because everybody's giving them something down there, and they don't have to do anything for it. They could lay on the sidewalk and people bring food to them there. They purposely get up and carry their stuff over to the ministry because they want to be there. Amen. And you know, the thing is, we've been there over 3 years and we've seen growth. I'm hoping next Sunday you're going to get to watch a video. Preacher said we can show a video of the homeless ministry. You're going to see something really amazing that took place down at the homeless ministry yesterday. But you know, it's about growth. It's about growing. You know, the Bible says here, it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Amen. You know, if you've been saved a while, you have found that God is gracious. Yes, you know, we go through tough times and hard times and discouraging times. And I told my Sunday school class this morning, there's been a lot of times where I wanted to quit. But because it's like a ship in the sea. When the storms come, if you tie yourself to the ship, you get blown around, banged up, get soaking wet, but you're still going to be on the ship because you're tied into that ship. And one thing I've tried to do over these years is tie my family to the house of God. Tough times, good times, bad times, hard times, COVID, you know, gas prices going up, cost of food, health insurance going up, everything happening. By the way, you know, this is not the first time we've been through this kind of stuff. There was a thing called the Great Depression. And you know what? God got people through that. And what I'm saying, folks, today is that we need to understand that God is gracious. Hey, we need to grow. You know, sometimes we get discouraged and we stop growing. Sometimes, you know, we have problems come in our life and we walk away from God. No, we're not to do that. When you got born again, there should be a desire to grow in the Lord. Look at John chapter number 9 real quickly, if you would. John chapter number 9. I want you to see some things here. In John chapter number 9 and verse number 13. John chapter 9, verse 13. John chapter 9, verse 13. It says, and they, in speaking of Jesus here, and they brought the Pharisees to him, him that at the time was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. So here they brought this blind man. By the way, this blind man, this was a miracle. Jesus healed a blind man. Now, to heal a blind man is a miracle. To heal a blind man that never saw before was a miracle. That's a greater miracle. I mean, it's one thing to have seen and you lost your sight and you get it back. Maybe it was coming back anyway. But to have never seen before. The Bible says here that the Lord opened his eyes. Then again, verse 15, the Pharisees also asked him, how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, speaking of Jesus, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, that he had been blind and received his sight. They couldn't believe this. This was like shocking. Until they called the parents of him that had received the sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? Is this your son that was born blind? How then doth he now see? You know, the world is never going to figure out what God is doing in our life. Right. See, a lot of times they try to figure it out. They try to look from the outside in and say, I don't understand it. Right. How is it that you're not fretting? How is it you're not worried? How is it you're still making it? How is it you still have joy? How is it you still go to church? How is it you still live for God? Hey, there's other Christians that have dropped away from God. You're still serving God. They're not going to understand it. We don't understand this. How then doth he now see? We don't understand. How does he see? Put Jesus aside. How does he see? Verse 20, his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son. We know that. And that he was born blind, we could tell you that. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak up for himself. For these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess. You know, they had that problem back then too. If any man confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. You know, there are people today that turn to Christ and they get pushed out from their family. There are people today that are fearful to get baptized because they're going to be kicked out of their religion. By the way, I wouldn't mind being kicked out of a religion that is not teaching the truth of salvation. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. And then look at verse 24. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. You know how they get religious. Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. We know that this man called Jesus a sinner. He answered and said, whether he is a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Amen. Hey, folks, that's what the Christian life is all about. Hey, once I was blind, but now I see. Hey, there's something that takes place at salvation. When I got saved, I got born again. Something on the inside changed. Something came alive inside of me called the Spirit. And that Spirit that came alive, all of a sudden, when it woke up like a bear that's been hibernating, it's hungry. It wants to learn about God. It wants to serve God. It wants to live for God. Hey, all I can tell you, once I was blind, but now I can see. In John chapter 9, verse 25, he answered and said, whereas I was blind, but now I see. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Oh, I'm glad I'm a new creature. I'm glad I'm not the old creature I used to be. I'm glad I'm a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Apostle Paul admonishes the child of God to put away the old life and allow God to grow us in a new life, to grow. And you know, that's what it's all about. Why does Pastor Wells, why did he come here over 11 years ago? Why did he choose to leave the evangelism? Being an evangelist, I mean, it's a lot of work. Don't get me wrong. It's hard to travel. But like he said, he was used to going to church, everybody excited about seeing him, and nobody ever giving him any trouble. Why would he choose a pastor of church where he's going to have heartache and he's going to have trouble? He didn't come here just about pastor church. He came here to help you grow in the Lord. Let me ask you a question. How long you been here? A year? 2 years? 5 years? 10 years? 12 years? Have you grown in the Lord? Are you doing more for God than you did before you got here? I could tell you right now, this man right here has grown in the Lord since I've been here. Oh, I tell you what, there's things that I was very immature on when I first got here. Things I struggle with, things that I'd give up easy on. I didn't know how to really work with people. But when I got here, my pastor, because he's patient, he worked with me and he helped me to be more what I ought to be. Hey, the Christian life is about that. It's about growing. And the question has to be asked this morning, are you growing in the Lord? Are you doing more for God today than you did yesterday? Are you seeking God more in your life today than you did yesterday? If you're not, then you're not growing. Well, I'm not saying that you have to grow, I mean, you know, go way down the road. I'm talking about just taking steps. You know, we take a baby, you know, Mackenzie. Little Mackenzie, she's part of our ministry, and you know, Charles and Marie's little baby, and she's learning to walk. She can walk now. But you know, parents want her to walk. Now, they don't expect her to run a marathon, but they want her to walk. You know, the Christian life is that way. It's God wants you to take those steps. He's not asking you to walk like somebody else walks. He wants you to walk the way he wants you to walk. He knows what you need. He knows how you need to grow, where to grow. Growing in the Lord takes time. We need to be patient on ourselves as well as on other people. You know, these homeless people, they come in and, you know, some of them just took a hit of drugs and they come and sit down and listen to service. Some of them just drank down their can of beer and came over to our service. I understand that. Some of them are growing in the Lord. Some of them are being faithful to church. Others, they come and they go. But that's all right. I need to be patient with them. Hey, I need to be patient with them because I need somebody to be patient with me. I'm growing in the Lord. You're growing in the Lord. The Bible tells us that we're to grow in the Lord. We're to desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. We need to be patient with one another. The devil is busy putting doubt in the hearts of Christians. The devil's at work. Every day he's telling us, oh, you messed up on God and you might as well just give up. Hey, you know what? You might as well just stop serving God because God will never use you again. No, God loves using people that mess up because we mess up every day. It's not the mess up that gets us away from God. It's staying away from God that gets us away from God. When you mess up, the Bible says a just man falleth 7 times and rises again. Hey, God says, it's one thing to fall. I don't want you to fall, but you're going to fall. It's the Christian life. But when you fall, get back up. Get back up and keep going. You know, the Christian life is about bumps and bruises. It's about things that happen in our life, but understanding that I'm growing in the Lord. Hey, you know what? My brother, I'm going to be patient with you because, man, I'm glad you're patient with me. And you're going to mess up. And I'm going to mess up. That's all right. I love being in a church where people are real, don't you? We're not pretending here. This is not about pretend. You know, we come to church with open sores, open scars. We have a past life, and we know nobody's going to judge us for it. We know that people care for us here. This is not a museum. This is a hospital. And people are here to help us. And by the way, doctors and nurses and those that help the doctors need doctors too. And that's part of the Christian life. But we're to be, you know, the devil is busy putting doubt in our hearts, trying to get us away from God. The Bible says in Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. By the way, what God's doing in you is a good work. Hey, what God is doing in you is something good. It's good that you got saved. You're not going to hell. You're going to heaven. It's good that he's working your life. It's good he's putting people in your life. It's good, by the way, and I know you don't like under construction, that he's putting some problems. You ever plan it out? I know, Brother Palmore, you're this way. You plan it out. You get it all figured out, the way you're going to go. You're going to take this route. You're going to do this. And you get there, and the bridge is closed. The road detour. And whoever puts those detour signs don't know what they're doing because, I mean, they get us all confused out there. It's like, there's an easier way that way, and you're sending us way over here. But, you know, that's part of the Christian life. Sometimes you'll get up that morning, you think, well, I'm just going to do the norm. By the way, it's good to have a schedule. And you get up to do the norm that day, and God says, no, detour. God says, no, road under construction. God says, hey, there's something going to happen today, and there's going to be a change in your life. And we have to be willing to accept that. But being confident, I'm confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in me, in you, will perform it until the day that Jesus Christ comes again. He's working in me. I want him to work in me. And sometimes I don't like it. Sometimes it hurts. You know, we have a lady in our church that broke her arm. And it healed wrong because, you know, she didn't have time to go to the doctor. She went to the doctor finally. They had to re-break her arm and reset it. None of us like that. But you know what? To heal right, sometimes God has to re-break some things because we didn't deal with it maybe when we should have. Many times a child of God thinks that he, when he gets away from God, that God will never use him again. Well, I messed up. You know, a preacher would never want to see me in church again. I messed up. My teacher in Sunday school would never want to see me again. I messed up. Nobody will want to see me. No. You know what? This church here, you can be gone 2 years and come back to church, and these people would treat you like you've never been gone. That's the kind of people we have here. By the way, God is that way. God will never, you know, they we think in our heart, God will never use again. But let us not think that God can't restore us and make us complete again, because God can. I'm reminded of the song, and I would sing it, but if I start singing it, then Brother Palmer's gonna start lining me up for music, and I really don't have time to be singing in church. My wife says you already have too many things on your plate, so I'm not gonna sing it because it's a hidden talent that I have, and I'm gonna keep it hidden. But there's a song that goes like this: there really ought to be a sign upon my heart, a sign upon my heart. Don't judge me yet, I'm an unfinished part. I'll be perfect just according to his plan. fashioned by the Master's loving hand. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, Jupiter and Earth, the sun and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. You know, God is working on me. God's work started at Calvary. God's work continues daily in my and your life. And God's work will be complete when we receive our glorified body. Until I get that glorified body, I'm going to tell you right now, Brother McDowell, it's a work in progress. Under construction. I tell you what, my wife, we've been married 31 years. And she's still telling me, you forgot to close the door and the AC is on. She said, either close the door or turn off the AC. Work under progress right here, right? Under construction. I tried to remind her that. She goes, no. But you know what? God is working on me. God's work will be complete. You say, when are people just going to straighten up? When are people going to stop? When are people going to start acting right? I tell you what, I just get tired of people messing up and people saying this and people doing that. I mean, when are they going to straighten up? When they get the glorified body. Now, that's no excuse. We shouldn't go around, God's still working on me. There you go. God's still working. No, we're not to do that. I'm to live the best that I can for God. But at the best I can, I will still fail. I'm glad that in the ministries I get to work in, that people are patient with me because I mess up. And I tell you, I would hate in the ministries that I work in to mess up and hurt people and people to give up on me. I tell you what, I want people in my life. I want friends in my life for a lifetime. And the only way you'll have friends of a lifetime is to decide they're not perfect and you're not perfect and overlook their flaws. If you're looking for perfection, you're looking in the wrong place. There is no perfection here whatsoever in this church. We need to realize everybody here has stinky feet. Amen? Most everybody. And it's going to happen. And we need to be patient with one another. Now, how can we allow God to make us what we ought to be? Because that's what I want. I want to be what God wants me to be. Not what I want to be, but what does God want me to be? Well, number one, I need to understand. Number one, I'm under construction. Number one, realize at salvation you were purchased by God. Do you realize that you're not your own? You know, I bought a dog. He's a very expensive dog. Now, to you, he might not be very expensive, but to me, any dog that makes a mess in my backyard is too expensive, all right? Because I have to constantly clean up after that dog. But you know, I bought that dog. And that dog's going to do what I tell that dog to do. That dog's going to sleep where I tell it to sleep. That dog's going to eat what I tell it to eat. That dog's going to do what I tell it to do. Why? Because I purchased that dog. By the way, God purchased you. Are you listening? God purchased you. He bought you with his blood. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Hey, you know, I've come to realize I'm not my own. Are you look up here? I'm not my own. Brother Barker, I've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. I have to do what he tells me to do. And by the way, if I don't do what God tells me to do, it's not going to go good. If I don't do, by the way, the Bible says that Moses did that, all that God had commanded him to do. He did all that God, you know, we are to do all that God commands us to do. With that, Moses, we know he messed up quite a bit. But God was still proud of him. You know what, folks, we have to decide today, hey, God bought me with the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not my own. And by the way, let me remind you, Christian, you're not your own. You have no right to walk away from God. You have no right to leave God. You have no right to get mad at God. Well, God didn't treat me fair. What do you mean? You don't own yourself. All you have to worry about is, God, am I everything you want me to be? I'm yours. Lord, if anything, we need to be confessing. Lord, I failed you today. Not that you failed me. I failed you. It's a growing process. It's, Lord, I belong to you. And Lord, I'm yours. And I want to grow and become everything I ought to be. I'm excited. I've been here going on 11 years and seeing the growth that God's helped me. I'm talking about I messed up. And it's good to be somewhere where you can mess up and get back up and people there to help you back up. Because I know some places where you mess up and they're done with you. And they throw you out. I'm glad to be in a church when I've messed up. There's times that I, preacher, you know, working with pastor and doing different things. And sometimes, you know, I messed up. I didn't do what he told me to do. I'm glad he didn't just throw me out. I'm glad that we worked through these things. Hey, God is that way. Hey, the Bible says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're to glorify God with this body right here. You know, we wouldn't get so offended at the preacher when he preaches about how we ought to live if we just stop thinking we own ourselves. You know, it's like, you know, I have a car and suppose I loaned you my car. And when I loan you my car, I say, hey, I need you to slow down. Well, you know, I'm the one driving. You don't tell me what to do. Yes, I do, because you're in my car. You know, and that's the same thing. It's funny how we get mad at the preacher when he steps on our toes and preaches the word of God. We get mad about that, but do you understand? He's trying to tell you how you're supposed to live for God because you don't own yourself. You belong to God. Hey, you know what? We wouldn't be offended so easy if we understood that concept. I don't own myself. You know, my dog, there's times I forget to feed him like I should. He's down to about 12 pounds now. He's a big dog. But no, I'm joking. But you know, there's times I feed him in the morning and feed him in the afternoon, sometimes I feed him in the evening. You know, he never complains because I didn't feed him. When I come in, he licks my hand. He just looks at me. He wants to play. He's just there. All he's concerned about is me, not him. At nighttime, we're sleeping. He walks our house. Sometimes he's growling. My wife's like, something's going on. I said, honey, go check. See, there might be somebody out there. And but you know, the thing is, all he concerns himself with is our pleasing us. I'll be over shaving in the bathroom. He'll come over and he'll lay down the floor looking at me shaving. He just wants to know, Master, am I pleasing you? You know, isn't that how it ought to be in the Christian life? Master, am I pleasing you? Lord, it's not about me. It's not about what I need or about what I want. It's not, oh, God's been unfair to me. God hasn't treated me good. No, you haven't treated God good. Amen. I haven't treated God good. Hey, we need to understand we're bought with a price. Number two, secondly, how do we grow? How do we let God make us into what we ought to be? Number two, stay around the Word of God so to hear His commands. Stay around the Word of God. You know, my dog Tyson, I give him commands. You know, I go outside, go lay down over there, go do this, you know. You know, and if he's around me, he'll hear my commands. You know, I need to get around God. By the way, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, it says that he might sanctify and cleanse, he's speaking of the church, with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present it, the church, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy, without blemish. God is saying, I own you, church. You're mine. He says, you're my children. I bought you with the blood of my son, Jesus Christ. You're mine. I own you. I created you. He says, serve me. He says, please me. He says, don't get mad when the preacher tells you you ought to live a certain way. That's what I want. God says, you're mine. He says, serve me and please me and yield to me. By the way, isn't that way in marriage? The Bible says we're to submit to one another. If I submit to my wife, I will please her. If I forget about myself and submit to her, I will please her. But you know, in turn, it will please me because I'm doing what God called me to do. If my wife will submit to me and please me, it will please her because God's going to bless her. Hey, folks, if we will submit to God, it will please him. Stay around the Word of God so to hear his commands. Get in the Word of God. By the way, get in the house of God. I tell you, there's no better place. You say, what about this place? What about? There's no better place. Folks, I would rather be in church. Get this now. It's going to shock you. I would rather be in church than jail right now. I would. I really would. I would rather be in church than any other place. We ought to decide right now. You know, I can't afford to miss church. You know, if I stayed out of church, I would backslide. I would. I know who I am. I got to be in the house of God, because every time I'm here, it's not just the preaching. It's the singing. It's the fellowship of the brethren. It's what helps me to grow. Folks, you need to be in the house of God. I tell you, this COVID thing, when we're out of church, remember that? We're out of church for a while. I tell you what, I didn't feel right. I didn't like it. And I know you didn't like it either. It's something about being back in the house of God. Hey, stay around the Word of God so that you can hear God's commands. Number three, keep your heart tender. The Bible says, Ephesians 4:32, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, if you're going to grow the way God wants you to grow, you got to be tenderhearted. You got to be quick to forgive. You say, why is that? Because you're going to need to forgive, because people are going to do you wrong. And by the way, half of the time that people did you wrong, they didn't even do you wrong. You just took it wrong. But you still got to forgive because you took it that way. We need to be tenderhearted. We need to say, Lord, help me to love people. You know, it's funny, you know, with little kids, you can be around little kids and they're so cute, and they can throw a block, hit you in the head, and you're like, oh, it's okay, he's so cute. You know, and we're that way with kids. Or, you know, you get somebody, you know, you get a guy that's fallen in love with this girl. No matter what the girl does, it's like, oh, she's so wonderful. I mean, it could be something dumb she does. It's so wonderful. Because you're in love with that person. Why don't we fall in love with one another? And why don't we decide today that no matter what anybody does to me, Lord, you said that if somebody tried to hurt me, they hurt you before they hurt me. And I'm just going to serve you. And again, a lot of times it might be that they didn't even mean to hurt me. And wouldn't it be good if we just went through life just assuming nobody really meant it? Even if they did mean it, I'm just going to assume they didn't mean it. And I'm just going to forgive them. I tell you, the happiest place to be is outside the jail cell of bitterness and unforgiveness. I refuse to hold things against people. I don't want, because I know when I do, when I hold in grudges and I hold bitterness in my heart towards somebody, God just walks away from me. He says, you stink. I can't be around you. I have to get right with God to get God back close to me again, or to get close to God. Hey, why don't we decide today to have a tender heart? Number four, how do we grow in the Lord? How do we become what God wants us to be? Number four, desire to grow in the Lord. The Bible says, 1 Peter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You know what? We ought to have a desire. You know, do you have a desire to grow? Do you hunger to grow? Are you hungry? Do you want to grow in the Lord? Do you say, Brother Butler, I tell you what, I hunger to grow in the Lord. I want to learn more about God. I want to live more for God. Oh, I want to do more for God. I hunger. I'm the principal of our academy. And, you know, and it's not easy being the principal of kids. Amen. It's not easy. But you know what? God knows my heart. The only reason I'm still a principal of that academy is I love those kids. I want to give them the very best they could have. I don't want to cheat them out of anything. I want to help them. I want to help mold their life. I'm hoping that these kids can graduate from our school and stay in church. You know, if I do my part, if the youth department does their part, if all of us do our part, maybe our kids can turn out for God. I tell you what, I want to give the kids a hunger to serve the Lord. Hey, folks, we need to have a desire to grow in the Lord. Is your desire there? We ought to desire to grow. Number five, what do we do to grow in the Lord? Number five, submit to all God's commandments. Submit to all of God's commandments. 1 Peter 5, verse 6, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Hey, don't worry about yourself. Well, you know, I'm a somebody. No, you're not. We're a nobody. Brother Butler sits right there. Do you know that if I ever left, that seat would be taken like that, and probably from a better person than me? We're all disposable. I've learned that a long time ago. I just live day to day. I'm just, every day I wake up, I'm just, Lord, thank you for using me today, because I don't know about tomorrow. Hey, decide today to submit to God's commands. Lord, what do you want me to do? You command me to go to church? I'm going to church. You command me to tithe? I'm going to tithe. You command me to be a witness? I'll witness. You command me to forgive? I'll forgive. What else, God? I'm working on it. I'm messing up. Lord, thank you for your patience. And friends, thank you for your patience. But let's work together to obey God's commands. That's how we grow. We're growing in the Lord. Number six, be patient as he works on you. Be patient. I know some people I try to work with and counsel, trying to help them through some problems. Things don't go the way they thought it should go, and right away they throw their hands up. I'm going to give up. You know, I'm just going to go to drugs. You know, it's like, no. You know, Brother Craig, it's okay. Just calm down. But it's, you know, right away it's like, it's like, be patient. You know, I work with the teachers in the academy. We have meetings. Each teacher meets with me during the week. And they walk in sometimes dragging. It's like, I don't know if I can make it another day. And I hope when they leave the office, they feel better. I try to encourage them, try to help them with that. But, you know, we need to be patient as we work, as God works on us. The Bible says in James chapter 1, it says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We need to decide today to let God work on us. You know, I had a lady come to our church. This lady had tattoos from her wrist, her ankles, to her neck. She was covered in tattoos. I was a pastor of the church. She came there, Christy. She came to our church. Her husband was a drunk. I went to visit them at their house. They had stuff on their walls. I couldn't even look at their walls. Rough life. Christy came to our church. I said, Christy, she was coming. Her husband came one time drunk to the church. She was embarrassed. She was a young lady. I said, Christy, I see you someday teaching our little girls in our church. Me? I said, yeah. There's a story I want to read you. This is about being patient. Being patient with people. Being patient with ourselves. There's a story that I read that I want to read to you. I think about a painter who saw a beggar or a homeless man whose clothes were tattered, hair unkempt, and face was dirty. The artist decided to paint the man as he might have looked as a successful businessman with a wonderful family. When he finished painting this beggar, the beggar came up to see the painting. So he had the homeless man sit there, ragged, dirty, overgrown hair, all a mess. The painter painted him as if he was a businessman, a successful businessman with a family. And when he was done, the beggar came to see the painting. The beggar didn't recognize himself in the painting. He asked him, "Is that me?" The painter said, "That's what I see in you." For the first time in years, the homeless man was given hope. And he said, "By God's grace, I'm going to be the kind of man you see me to be." At the moment we trust Christ for salvation, God takes the raw material and he begins to shape our life into what we ought to be. He sees today and what we will be tomorrow. When the final whistle blows, the game of life is over. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ will take us up and then he'll show us who we are. Will be complete. The same God who opened the eyes of the blind, unstopped the ears of the deaf, loosened the tongue of the dumb, cleansed a disease of the unclean, and resurrected the dead body of Lazarus is the same God who is at work in our life. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. You know what? You might not think he's working fast enough on me, and I might not think he's working fast enough on you, but it really doesn't matter. Because he's still working on me. And he's still working on you. And all you have to do is say, God, keep working on me. Help me to be what I ought to be. The God is the same yesterday. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God who is the Alpha and the Omega. The first and the last. The beginning and the end. The same God who was dead yet liveth. And is alive forevermore. And holds the keys of hell and death. Is the same God who is at work in our lives. Thanks be to God, I'm not what I used to be. And although I know that I'm not what I should be, I also know that I'm not what I'm going to be. I'm confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in me will perform it until the day that I live with Jesus and look him face to face. If you're not saved, if you're not a child of God, there is no way to change your life. You can't do it. Your life is hopeless without Christ. If you will choose Christ as your Savior, he will begin a work, a new work in you. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things. What's the old things? Remember the old things you used to do? Remember the old things? Remember the old temper? Remember the unforgiveness? Remember the old wicked life that we used to live? The old things are passed away. And behold, all things are becoming new. Every day. Wow, I'm feeling better today. Wow, I didn't blow up like I used to. Wow, I'm witnessing more. Wow, I'm being more faithful to church now. Wow, I'm obeying mom and dad better now. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Will you let God make you anew? I tell you what, if you would choose a day to say, God, I'm not much, but you have all of me. By the way, don't get mad at God. And don't point a finger at God, because he owns you. If anything, point a finger at ourselves and say, God, I'm not what I ought to be for you. And Lord, if I ever accuse you of anything, I'm sorry, because Lord, you got a lot to accuse me of, and help me to be everything I ought to be for you. Life under construction. It's still under construction. All of us are under construction. Be patient with one another. Help one another. Work with one another. And let God build us the way he wants to build us. We have every head bowed and every eye closed. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the word of God today. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word.